plays it on the line for Louisiana every night. We didn't have the best circumstances today, but we found a way, and that's what we do in Louisiana. Move on, baby.
Bow, bow, bow.
What a real guard.
You don't have a...
You haven't seen Javonte play or Cam play this year? What do you mean we don't have good guards? You're right, we don't have good guards. We got great guards. What's your question?
Well, I just think that's a bunch of BS.
Sounds nice, that's a great coaching line, and it's a heck of a cliche, but it's stupid.
Have you been under a rock?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Season 4 of Boot Up, the LSU Basketball Podcast. As always, I am Cody Worsham, digital media reporter for LSU Athletics. Wow, already 4 seasons into this podcast. I cannot believe it. Super quick intro today. 2 interviews previewing the NBA draft. Up first, Will Wade, head coach of the LSU Basketball Tigers, talking about his 3 players getting ready for the draft on Thursday. Will will be there with Cam Thomas, who will be in the green room. Potentially a lottery pick, first round pick for sure. Exciting night for Cam. Also expected to be considered for the draft and possibly even picked, Javonte Smart and Trendon Watford. So we talked with Will about those guys, and then later we brought on Kent Lowe, the man, the myth, legend himself, to also talk about those 3 guys and give a little different perspective. So 2 different looks at the 3 guys who are getting ready to see their futures changed. Super excited about this season of Boot Up. New team, new year, new season coming up. A lot of new faces to get to know with this team. Super excited to help you guys and gals get to know this team as an exciting season lay ahead for the Tigers. But before we do that, one last look back at the season that was, through the eyes of the guys getting ready to have their lives changed on Thursday. So, without further ado, here are my conversations with LSU head basketball coach Will Wade and LSU basketball sports information director Kent Lowe.
All right, good to spend a few minutes with LSU basketball head coach Will Wade ahead of the NBA draft. Coach, thanks for your time this morning. Pretty exciting time for you, I imagine, with several guys that have a chance to extend their careers to the next level. I'll start with Cam Thomas, because I was just reading an article that Mark Spears did for the Undefeated, and he's a lottery pick. He's going to go pretty early. You'll be up there with him. Let's go back to the beginning of your relationship with him. I was reading the Mark Spears story, and he talked about, obviously, Cam's relationship with his mom. And I want to ask you about that. But before that, when you first started recruiting him, and you first started evaluating him, what qualities stood out as a guy that making him a guy that could be in this position one day, a guy that would be a lottery pick?
I mean, the one thing that stood out the most was his ability to draw fouls. Like, I watched him in high school. You watch him in AAU. Like, he could draw fouls. And so anybody that translates no matter the level. And so I knew that, you know, I mean, yeah, last year, any game when we got off the bus, we were pretty much up 8-0 because he was going to take 8 free throws or 8 or 9 free throws, and he was going to make, you know, 8 out of 9 or 7 out of 8. And so you have a lead every time you have him, just because of that's just a huge, huge weapon. And he didn't get a bunch of calls on jump shots in college that he'll get in the NBA, just with the rules being different. So he's going to be even more of a weapon drawing fouls in the NBA than he was in college. And so just his ability to draw fouls, his ability to score, his ability to manufacture points, he did it at every level.
There was a quote in this story from you where you're talking about his mom and recruiting his mom as hard as you recruited him, and just the way that she has that military approach as a former as having been in the Army. And I'm curious, that first meeting, like, what were your expectations going into that first meeting with Cam and his mom? And then when you walked away from it, what was your takeaway from it?
Well, I mean, she is, like I said, she's very punctual. She expects you to be on time. And to do what you want to do, and you know, she's just all into her son. She wants what's best for her son, and she's going to hold you accountable for what you say you're going to do. I've never been so scared recruiting a kid. It was his birthday, and so we had set up where we were going to. He had played the night before at Oak Hill, And it was a Sunday, and we set up a flight, me and Coach Armstrong, to go meet Cam, his mom, and his sister for his birthday. And so we were going to this – they were staying at a Hampton – I'll never forget it, man. They were staying at a Hampton Inn in Galax, Virginia. I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere. Across the street from the Hampton Inn, there's a Walmart and there's an Applebee's. And so we were going to meet at the Applebee's. We had another official visit that day. And so I dropped the kid off at the airport that morning, and then I drove to the other side of the airport to get on the school plane to go. We get there, and the pilots look at me and say, there's fog at the airport, so we can't get into the thing. So I'm like freaking out. But he's like, there's another airport in North Carolina. We're flying somewhere by Galax, but there's another airport. It's right on the border with North Carolina. There's another airport somewhere in North Carolina. It's about 35 minutes away that we can, that we can get into. I'm like, all right, we'll go. Well, we don't have a rental car there. We have nothing. So I'm just like, we'll just get the airport always has a car. So I'm like, all right, we'll just get the car and we'll drive to Galax and figure this out. I'm sitting there thinking, if we're late, like, this recruitment is over. So we land, and then the airport car, I swear to you, you can ask Coach Armstrong. It was a Chevy Impala, like 1995 Chevy Impala. The doors, I mean, the thing barely started. There was a screwdriver in the ignition. That's how it's for the gear shift. It was a screwdriver. So we drive this rickety thing up the interstate, like 40 minutes to Galax. And I call her on the way. I'm like, look, the plane got diverted, blah, 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 blah. She was joking with me the other day about this. We were joking the other day. She goes, we've come a long way since you brought that POS to Applebee's, didn't we? And she was sitting in the parking lot waiting for us, laughing at us in the car. And then I kind of felt like, all right, we kind of broke the barrier. She knows how serious we are. She knows that we'll do anything to get her son. We actually made it on time, and she appreciated the effort. And she sat out there as we were going back and joked with us about the car and making sure the thing would shift into gear. And she was looking at it. It was pretty funny, but it's one of those things in recruiting. You got to improvise and make it happen. We had to pick up food for the pilots on the way back, 'cause we took their car. They usually take to get the food, but it was a wild recruiting trip. But I think that's where we won her over. As she knew then, like, look, these guys will do anything to get my son. They're going to take care of my son. They're going to look after him. And, you know, that he's this important to them that they're willing to be, you know, as resourceful as they can be. And I'm just glad the car made it back and forth down the interstate without breaking down.
Well, your hustle paid off. Hopefully your flight into New York on Thursday is a little bit smoother than that one. You don't have to take a rickety car to the draft. How exciting is that to get to go experience that for you personally? But I know your focus is more on Cam, his family, and getting to experience that as well.
Yeah, I'm excited for Cam. I'm excited for Leslie, excited for Shanice. I'm really just excited for those guys, and you know, I'll just be there. I'll just be there for support. I appreciate them inviting me and asking me to go. Nelson and Vernon are going with me. It'll be a fun night on Thursday night for sure. But just really excited for him. Anytime you can watch your guys, reach their goals, reach their dreams, that's exciting as a coach.
I remember you saying this about Skyler last year, that his game almost might translate better to the NBA because of the spacing. Cam, do you have that same sense with Cam? I mean, not that his game translated pretty well to the college level too, but
I've told every team, I mean, shoot, he's gonna get you 15 points. just by showing up. I mean, no, I think, like I said, I think the rules in the NBA allow him to finish a little bit better at the rim with the defensive 3 seconds. I think he'll get the calls on those jump shots that he didn't get in college. Like, those are fouls. You watch what Trae Young and some of those guys do, drawing fouls. He can do all that stuff. I think there's a lot of things that translate even better to the next level than they did in college.
Moving on to other guys that are up for the draft this year, and I want to talk about Javonte Smart. I was reading a story yesterday that he had gone to Toronto and set some record for like shooting 3-pointers in their shooting draft.
He actually set it in two. He set it in Toronto and he set it in Chicago. He set it in two different cities and two different organizations. So, you know, he's just been working extremely hard. He's been training extremely hard. he's got a lot of momentum. I took three calls on him yesterday from different teams, specifically, you know, on him. So I think he's got a lot of momentum heading into the, you know, heading into the draft here. He's just been a workout warrior. He's worked out for, I mean, him and Trenton, every day I text him, you know, they're in a different city, they're working out, they're doing this, they're doing that. And so, you know, they've done everything they can to position themselves. And Javonte's worked so hard. And, you know, he's shooting the ball extremely, extremely well, just like we know he can. I've been very, very proud of him. And you know, he's figuring it out and finding a way to make it happen.
Seems like just yesterday he had committed to you. I remember that day that he committed, I was hosting a radio show, and it felt like a big momentous thing. You had just gotten hired, and it felt like the momentum was going. And then obviously he comes up with the phrase boot up and really kind of helps you. I know he wasn't here that first season, but kind of get this thing started here at LSU. I know it's still a little bit early to the back end of his career at LSU, but what do you think his impact is going to be here for a long time? I mean, I hear from fans all the time how much they just love Javonte, the competitiveness he displayed, the way he improved his last year. What do you think his impact is going to be at this place?
He was blue collar. You know, he worked extremely hard. He was an unbelievable leader and team player. And like you said, man, I mean, he believed in us when there wasn't a whole lot to believe in. And, you know, we're forever, forever grateful for that. I mean, he believed us when there wasn't a whole lot to believe in. And Trenton came to us when we were coming, when I was coming off the suspension, and he had tons of options. Like those two kids, man, they really have moved our program forward. And you know, I tell Javonte all the time, I love him, and you know, he's done a ton. He sacrificed a lot for our team, sacrificed a lot for our program. He absolutely loves LSU. He loves Baton Rouge. He loves Louisiana. And you know, like you said, the boot up. He's brought just a lot of things competitively to our, you know, to our program. And it's not easy what he did to play college ball in the same city you played high school ball in, to be the most decorated player in the state and come here and do what he did and have the success that he had. So unbelievably proud of him and excited to follow his career as it moves forward.
You mentioned Trenton Watford. He's a guy that, after his freshman season, along with Javonte and a couple other guys, had the opportunity to look at the next level, decided to come back, improve, work on his game. Felt like at the end of the season he was playing his best basketball, and you talked about momentum with Javonte, but you mentioned Trenton as well. What kind of feedback are you giving teams and getting from teams about Trenton and his fit at the next level? Because of his diverse skill set, he feels like, you know, 10 years ago being a tweener was a bad thing in the NBA, and not that he's a tweener necessarily, but now it's called versatility, right? Being able to play multiple positions. What are you hearing about him and the feedback you're giving teams as well?
Yeah, I mean, there's teams that like Trenton at the five in the NBA with the way the NBA's playing. And, you know, just to have somebody that's that tall and that long and that's a playmaker is extremely important. And, you know, I think there's a lot of intrigue with him. I've actually got a call with his agent a little bit later on, and we were texting earlier this week about some things. And so, you know, he's worked extremely hard. He's done everything he can. He shot it well in the workouts. I've told everybody that, you know, that's one of the things I tell him, guys, he's a much better shooter than his numbers would show. And I'm really proud of how he shot it in the workouts and how hard he's worked. He's really reshaped his body. He looks totally different. He came back, he spent a couple days with us before his workout in New Orleans with the Pelicans. And he just looked he looked tremendous. And so just very, very proud of him, very, very pleased. And I think he's got some good things going into Thursday night.
One more for you, Will. I was looking at some draft analysis, and I think one of the draft analysts had a kind of a chart of all the teams that have had players drafted over the last few years. And I guess it was surprising to me because I grew up around here and at a time when LSU wasn't putting a ton of guys in the NBA, but LSU was pretty high on that list. You've got guys like, I know Naz didn't get picked, but he's succeeding there. Tremont got a second round pick, Skyler last year. How good has it been to see those guys come through here? I mean, even a guy that didn't get picked, but a guy that's been on my mind lately, Duop Reith, shining with the Australian national team at the Olympics. How good has it been to see those guys that you coached come through here and have some success at the next level, NBA or whatever, wherever they end up?
Oh, it's been great. I follow WAP overseas. Reed Vial sends me all the updates every day. So we follow WAP and Reed are really close. They were roommates. And so Reed worked for us the last couple of years, worked with us the last couple of years. And so, you know, been following WAP. I stayed up and watched one of his Olympic games the other night, like 3:40 in the morning. But, you know, proud of him, proud of all those guys. Aaron Epps just played in the TBT this past weekend and or this past week. They played last night, actually. And, you know, just having those guys, having Skyler back, I got to spend a bunch of time with Skyler a couple weeks ago. I'm going to try to go out to Summer League in August so I can see, you know, Skyler, Trey, you know, the three guys we just spoke about. They'll all probably be in Summer League. And, you know, so it's exciting. That's what you want. And I really like that, you know, Nas was back for a week and a half or so and spent some time with our players. It's good just to have those guys around to talk to our players, spend time with our players. And, you know, that's what you want as a program. You want guys to have such a great experience that they want to come back, want to spend time around your team, want to spend time around your staff and, you know, do their workouts and things here. And that's what we, you know, that's what we have right now. And I think that speaks volumes to our assistants and our staff and the support people around our program. So we're getting there. Thursday would be a great night to have a first round pick. For sure. And we're getting there. We're making progress. We've got more progress to make. But, you know, at the end of the day, our job, I tell kids this in recruiting, our job is to be dream makers. You know, whatever your dream is, you want to get to the next level. Like, it's our job to work with you to make that happen. And, you know, that's what all those examples are, is guys we've been a small step on their path to making it happen. We don't make the pros now. They make themselves. We just give them the structure. We just give them the roadmap to do it. I tell them all the time, I'm going to give you the roadmap. Just don't drive the car in the ditch. Just keep it between the lanes, keep it between the lines, and we'll be good. Don't put it in the ditch. The guys always joke with me about that. They'll tell me, man, I turned that thing in the ditch today. I'm like, yeah, we got to get a tow truck, get that thing out, get it back on the road. Just stick to the plan, stick to the roadmap, and these are talented kids we get, and they've been working for a long, long time, and we're happy to be a small step in that process.
Well, as long as the car doesn't have a screwdriver for a gear shift, I think they'll be okay to keep it out of the ditch.
Way to tie that together, Cody. That's why you're a professional, man. I like it.
That's what we do over here. All right, Will, appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, what better way to start off season 4 than to be joined by the legend, the man, the myth himself? I kind of said that out of order, but it's Kent Lowe. It's LSU basketball's long-serving SID and now Hall of Famer. Kent, first of all, congratulations on being in the Hall of Fame. How was the ceremony? I know you and I have talked about it for those listening. How much fun was it to be a part of that experience?
It's really amazing to be on the other side of it after having produced the television show for so many years. But it was a lot of fun. It's a very humbling honor. And we're going to do it again here in about 6 weeks when we get back on schedule and induct the 21 class, which will include Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf from LSU basketball. So it should be another great ceremony. It was a lot of fun. I'm very honored to be a member of the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame.
Well, Kent, you're certainly deserving, and as is Mahmoud and all the many entrants over there at the Sports Hall of Fame. I was actually driving through Natchitoches this past weekend and saw the sign on the interstate and was tempted to get off, but I had children in the back seat that were dying to get home from Arkansas. So we decided not to stop, but next time I'm up in there, I'll grab a meat pie. And okay, so of course, the purpose of today's show is to talk about the NBA draft, and I figured, Kent, you'd be a great person to bring on, both with your experience with LSU basketball over 30 years now, I guess, and all the drafts that you've seen from Shaq to Ben Simmons to of course now Cam Thomas is going to be in the draft at the draft in the green room, but the history goes back. But I want to focus on, of course, this year's group of eligible draftees. Before I do that, though, I do want to talk about the success that LSU's had in the NBA recently. And, you know, you could talk about Ben Simmons, number one pick, all that stuff. I think people see that and it's pretty obvious. But you've also had some guys, whether they were undrafted, like a Naz Reid, who's now really carved carved a nice niche out. He's going to get a lot of money on his next contract. He's established himself as a very successful player. I saw Tremont Waters is, you know, we've seen his success in Boston. I think he'll have a chance to maybe move to another team this year or extend with Boston. But you've had guys throughout the league. And then, of course, Skylar Mays with the playoff run this year with the Hawks. So, you know, when I was growing up, Kent, and you were in the heyday of your SID work here at LSU, it was kind of an NBA guy here, an NBA guy there. But now there's really getting to be some consistent productivity from guys coming from LSU going to the next level.
Well, I think we've had some guys, Cody, who have proven you can make the league through different ways. I mean, Garrett Temple is certainly an example in one way, because he had several years of 10-day contracts mm-hmm. with different teams that would eventually for the rest of the year, and then the process would start all over again until he finally hooked up with Washington and Sacramento. This past year, he played for the Chicago Bulls, and he's turned that into 11 years of NBA service, which I think is quite amazing. Tremont and Skylar were second-round draft picks who proven to be able, through the two-way contract, to make their mark in the NBA. And Nas, as you mentioned, undrafted, played well in the summer league, and that gave him a shot to sign a very good contract with Minnesota that, you're right, is going to lead to better contracts down the road. And even if all three of these guys are not drafted Thursday night, there is an outlet for them to continue working to be in the league as early as this coming season.
Yep, and that can be a more difficult road to navigate, but when you have guys who have navigated it before, I mean, Garrett Temple's around here working out all the time. Those guys all have relationships with each other, from Skylar and Javonte, or Tremont and Javonte. All those guys know each other. They can have those conversations and help navigate that road that can be difficult, make it a little bit easier. And, you know, it is difficult, but it's less difficult than it used to be, I think. I think there is a more of a path for guys who aren't drafted or aren't drafted in the first round to make their way in the league as the G League gets more robust. You saw the news with the Pelicans, with the Birmingham Squadron, which is just a fantastic mascot. Yes. I didn't realize that a group of Pelicans was called a squadron. Is that true? Or did I get tricked by the internet? I think that might be true.
I don't know on that. I will have to research that.
Okay. I saw it on Twitter, so it must be true. So yeah, it's going to be really exciting. Really exciting day Thursday. I'll start by asking you about Cam Thomas, because he's the guy that's going to be there in the green room and has a chance to go really high. I've seen mock drafts with him in the top 10. I've seen him in the middle of the first round. I know as a Pelicans fan, or I guess I would call myself a Pelicans fan. I'm not a hardcore fan, but watch the Pelicans all the time. I've seen them kind of link their teams that need a score. What's your insight on Cam and as he's preparing for this process? And I know last year was strange because of COVID and the limitations, but he came in, he got his work done, he worked hard, he put his head down, and he had this focus. We've had, you know, Kent, you've worked with guys that come in and they're one and done, and they can, or even two and done, and they can be range all over the place depending on their personalities, on, you know, what they prioritize. Cam just seemed like a guy who came in and was on a mission, and just so focused and regimented, and really had a big picture view on where he wanted to go and stuck with that from day one.
You know, the thing is that from day one, Coach Wade said, this kid is coming in, and he told the media, told me, this kid is a prolific scorer. And you and I have heard that before about other players, not only at LSU, but everywhere else in this league. And sometimes they are, sometimes not. This kid was everything that he was advertised to be. Could shoot from distance, drive to the goal. More impressively, could drive to the goal, get fouled, and make free throws. And I think that was something that was different to see as this year went on. I think that if a team needs a shooter, needs some scoring from outside, Cam's going to fit their bill. And I don't believe the NBA would have brought him to the draft, if there hadn't been some teams that told them that he was going to be one of the top first-round draft choices in that first 20, 25 picks. I think that happens for him. You know, we all want the best for all these players that they can get, and I'd love to see him as high as possible join that group of first-round draft picks that LSU has had.
Yeah, just, you know, you look at his stats, and they're almost unprecedented what he did, but you talked about the ability to get to the free throw line, and I think that really, it's such an underrated skill at this level. It is not an underrated skill at the next level. That is something that NBA teams are constantly looking for. And I was looking at KenPom, and they do, one of the stats that KenPom does is these player comparisons, and they basically crunch all the numbers and spit out guys who are very similar. And it was interesting that Cam's most similar players were Jamal Murray when he was at Kentucky, who obviously has become a very successful scorer at the next level. Malik Monk at Kentucky, who was a very, very high draft pick. Gary Harris is on here. Tyrese Maxey is on here. So it was interesting to see that, but at the same time, you can compare him to those guys, and yet he went to the free throw line 220 times last year. That's more than anybody on this list by at least 40. So the free throw rate was in the 40s. No one else is even over 37. I mean, it's just that skill set. At college, you know, you look at 3-point percentage, you look at, you know, field goal percentage and all this stuff. And I think Cam is going to improve there when he's maybe not the guy that has to, well, not has to take the so many shots, but is the clear focal point of the offense. If he becomes a second option, a third option, a bench scorer, you'll see those efficiency numbers tick up in those regards while he's still getting to the free throw line and making a ton of free throws, because to make a long point short or to make a short point long here, That's the key to efficiency. Everyone talks about efficient offensive basketball. There is no more efficient place than the free throw line. If you go to the free throw line, you get, let's say you get two shots every attempt. If you're a 90% shooter like he is, that's 1.8 points per possession. That's insane efficiency. That's off the chart. So he's incredibly good at getting to the free throw line, making free throws. And I just feel like that's a skill that maybe at the college level, it's easy to overlook because it's not exciting. It's not it's not going to be on the highlight reels on ESPN, right? But it's so, so valuable.
The key is, though, he gets to the line, but he gets to the line and then cashes in. You know, there's some players who get to the line and don't cash in and can't cash in as regularly as someone like Cam did this past year. It was a pleasure to watch. You can see the influence of his mom and his work ethic, and I think that will pay off for him somewhere in a very nice NBA career.
Yeah, great story from Mark Spears at The Undefeated that you can check out at The Undefeated. LSU basketball Twitter's account retweeted it. There's a written story and a video story. I recommend both of them highly. Let's talk about Javonte Smart now. Javonte, I remember it clear as day, the day that he committed. I was working radio over at the Guarantee Studios and had his high school coach on. And I remember just thinking what a big deal it was because, you know, Will had just gotten started at LSU, and it was the first kind of jolt of energy that the program had gotten after his hire. And to see him go from that moment to where he is now, the growth that Javonte has made as an individual, I think very much mirrors the growth of the program and the consistency that the program's had. And Kent, you know the stats better than I do, but LSU's the winningest team in the SEC over the last three seasons. I don't think it's a coincidence that those three seasons were seasons where Javonte Smart was on the roster.
Well, I would agree with that. And I think when all is said and done, he ended up one of the most underrated point guards in the SEC. I mean, he had some spectacular games. He did some things that, you know, we haven't seen consistently in a long time from a point guard. And his ability to score and pass the ball made him a very valuable commodity for this team. He's worked out for a lot of teams, and we'll just have to see how it all plays out in that second round. Things happen, you know. You have to see where the influx of foreign players is coming from in this draft and what the opportunities are. But if there's a team who needs a solid point guard in their roster somewhere, then they would not be hurting by drafting Javonte.
I'm not a draft expert. I know that the NBA, you know, values length and size, height, athleticism, all that stuff. And I don't know where Javonte tests out on all that stuff. But when I look at Javonte, this is kind of an off the wall comparison. I think of Fred Van Vliet and the ability to be a guard who makes big shots and maybe isn't going to have, and Javonte's bigger than Fred Van Vliet. Fred Van Vliet's 6 foot flat. Javonte is a good 6'4". He's strong. He's physical. But the ability to make shots from the point guard position, I think tends to get underrated in the draft. And you mentioned that word underrated with Javonte, but man, he can make shots. He's breaking records at these workouts that he's putting in. And look, the NBA today is all about being able to make shots and he can do it. And I just feel like it's such an exciting fit. Similarly with Trendon Watford, maybe a different path than Javonte. All these guys have their own different paths. Trendon's got the measurables. He's got the size. He's got the skill set. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how he fits in the modern game, because you could even go back to, you know, just a few years ago when you have Jarrell Martin and Jordan Mickey in the same draft and how much the big position has changed since then. Trendon has the size of those guys, but he's got the skill set of a point guard and the ability to pass, the ability to create off the dribble. And what I was really impressed with Trendon is he seemed to play his best basketball as the season went on and had a big SEC tournament, you know, made some huge plays in that SEC tournament, seemed to enjoy the big stage. And so I know he's working out a bunch too. Really excited to see what his path will be, because I think with that skill set and that ability, he's got a chance to make an impact at the next level.
I think you're right. The best thing that Trendon Watford did was come back for his sophomore season. He got that input from NBA people and those who you talk to when you go out and don't hire an agent. But I think him coming back for a sophomore year at LSU has given him a chance to be drafted Thursday night. And that's what we're going to be watching for, and certainly hope for the best for him. But even if some reason he's not, there's going to be a team that will put him on his summer league, on their summer league roster very quickly, and give him that chance to show that talent in the summer league that could lead then right into a roster spot for the 21-22 season.
It's going to be an exciting day on Thursday for the draft. What are your plans, Kent? I know Will's going up to New York. You couldn't get on that plane with him?
No, I will be at the computer here either at the office or the house, and with our Madison from Creative and Jen, our social person, and we'll all be camped out, ready to roll when things begin to happen, and we're hoping they happen much sooner than later on Thursday night. It's two rounds only is the NBA draft compared to some of the others. It moves fairly quickly, and for a lot of people, their lives change in just a matter of moments.
No doubt about it, Kent. What you touched on it there. What are the coverage plans from LSU basketball, social media, lsusports.net? You mentioned some of the people involved, but obviously we're putting out this podcast, but what else can fans expect from the LSU basketball official accounts?
Well, right now, back on our website at lsusports.net, we're rerunning a story on March the 9th that our fine young student writer, Harrison Valentine, together, that he did a big dive into Cam's life and career. It's very well written. In fact, it won first place in the Louisiana Sports Writers Association contest for SIDs and media relations people. And you have the plaque right there that is one of three that Harrison won in that contest for his writing. So we thought it deserved another run on our website on a couple of days here before the draft. So we'll have that. We'll have a big advance Wednesday evening. Looking ahead to the draft, we have some quotes from Cam after one of his workouts and that we're going to share, and some other things. And then, like I say, we'll kind of settle in and see what the scuttlebutt is as we head into Thursday afternoon. And we'll be watching with everyone else. And once it hits that someone is drafted, we'll be keeping up with the team and keeping up with the progress of where they're headed after the announcement is made and what quotes and press conferences they may have coming up. So we'll be on top of things through the end of the week, because then the free agent signings and wherever they're drafted, there'll be press conferences usually on Friday that we'll be following as well.
No question about it. And that's one of the fortunate consequences of having a successful basketball program, is that you're busy on draft night, but you wouldn't have it any other way. I know it's a Hall of Famer in Kent Lowe and a Hall of Fame work ethic, and just a great night for LSU basketball. It's going to be a big day for Cam, for Javonte, for Trendon, whatever paths they take. Super excited to see where those guys go, because as you said at the beginning, it can take you anywhere. I mean, look at Duop Reith, right? Like, we didn't even mention him because it's not necessarily NBA, but we mentioned Jarrell. Jarrell's over in Australia, and now Duop with the Australian national team having success at the Olympics.
Yeah, and he played for 3 years in the Serbian League, and just last month he signed a brand new contract with the Hawks of the National Basketball League in Australia. So he'll be playing full-time professionally in Australia this coming year. So very happy for him. I think he can do very well in that league.
Yep, the boot up movement going global. Duop Reith having a lot of success at the Olympics. And from Duop to a bunch of guys, and now with he was there in Coach Wade's first year too, and now you've got Javonte and Trendon and Cam getting ready for the draft. So it never stops. It's an exciting time. Thank you so much for your time, Kent, giving us a little insight into the behind-the-scenes machinations, and we're excited for Thursday.
All right. Thanks, Cody.
Where is Cody? He's on vacation. State media takes vacation. Can you go to North Korea for vacation? Can you go to Pyongyang for vacation? Is that possible? No. Yeah, we got to check for when Cody gets back from North Korea.